everybody, welcome to another episode of Case in Point. And I am your host, Justin Case. And with me, I have my intrepid co-host, Jody Yearden, Esquire.
Greetings, gentle beings.
Yeah, we're on the air. All right. And
That's a super obscure reference to the movie Trekkies.
It's a classic, 1996. You guys need to check that out. If you're a Star Trek fan or you're not a Star Trek fan and you like laughing at people who are Star Trek fans on the eccentric side of things,
yes.
it's a film for everybody.
That's what I was going to say. I would think you might enjoy it more if you weren't a Star Trek fan, because it would give you more reason to not like it.
That's a fair statement. So yeah,
you're like, yep, I was right to begin with. I'm totally right about this nerd stuff. I'm all out on Trek.
I am,
and this is why.
Or talking Trek, talk Trek, talk Trek and beyond. It's like Trek talk, talk Trek. Anyway, Jody, you had that tape and that VHS tape. Yes, folks, we said VHS. And Jody got me hooked on that movie. And I was a Star Trek fan before that, and still am. But I'm not, I can't say that now. I do have a uniform. Actually, I have two uniforms. And I'll go, I don't care. I'm going to say it. No shame, you know. At that point, I was not a uniform-wearing Trekkie or Star Trek fan.
You hadn't joined the Academy yet.
Had not joined the Academy yet.
You hadn't signed up.
Yeah, I was assigned to a crewman on the USS North Country. Do you remember that story, Jody, about the USS North Country?
Have you ever shared that on the podcast before?
I did a long time ago, sometime last year, but I will tell it again. There was and it may still be around, so I'm probably burning some very, very distressed bridges right now. If I don't think they're around anymore, but there was this Star Trek fan club in Watertown called the USS North Country. And my brother and I would joke about the fact that if it was an actual starship, that they wouldn't have the phasers would be hand taped, like duct taped to the hull of the ship, like hand phasers, because they wouldn't have real weapons. And we get laughing pretty good about that. And it was like there was this guy up at KB Toys, believe it or not. The Samron Mall in Watertown, New York, had KB Toys, and just telling you how long ago this was. And I think it was probably 94, 95, and they had, there was a guy up there, he was in charge of demoing Sonic Spinball, right? They had one of those video game kiosks set up, and he told us all about it, and, so ever since then, my brother and I, like, we never went to any of the parties or anything, because we're like, you know, we're just kids, and, you know, we're not going to, like, beg to get a ride up to a, you know, Star Trek party, which, you know, that could probably be a very, very hairy situation, depending on who's there. But, no, it was, that's how we kind of heard about it, never really explored it or anything, but,
So you heard about a local Star Trek club in northern upstate New York called the USS North Country from a man demoing Sonic Spinball at KB Toys?
Yep, for the Sega Genesis, and he had on this jacket, a zipper jacket, and it was made out of this very thin foam-like material, and it had, like, Sonic Spinball all over it.
He had a Sonic Spinball jacket.
It was a Sonic Spinball very taut, very thin foam Sonic Spinball Sega Incorporated jacket.
And I want it.
Yeah, I'm sure you could find it online somewhere, but this guy had this jacket because he was, I don't know how you get a gig like that, but I remember they had that, and I remember they had they'd temporarily shut off the other games, and they just had Sonic Spinball there, because prior to that, they had, like, the Cliffhanger video game and for the Sega, and this is back when, like, when a movie would come out, especially a movie that's not for kids, you know, they would have, like, Terminator, and a lot of those movies like that are rated R. They have video games for these. They have them for the Game Boy. They have them for the Genesis. They have them for Super Nintendo. And so...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was around that time period. And so it was like, Yeah, that was what it was, and we talked about Pegasus Hobbies going out of business, and because like apparently what had happened was, and I mentioned this back on the two-parter comic store episode. You guys should go and check that out. That was probably about a year ago when we did that. So go in the archives and check that out. But it was the same guy told us there was a comic store that was going out of business called Pegasus Hobbies. No, it wasn't Pegasus Hobbies. It was Black Castle Comics. That's what it was.
Yeah, Pegasus Hobbies, aka Winged Horse Comics.
Nice.
That's how I discreetly referenced it as one time.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a whole episode in itself describing that place. But no, what had happened was is this place went out of business and they left all of the comic books in the store.
They probably got booted out, right?
They got booted out, and he told us, he goes, whoever has the money to rent that place out gets all those comic books. And I was like, my brother and I were like, man, if we were like adults and we had money, we would definitely rent that place out and get all those comics. You know,
it was probably a bunch of early 90s junk, right?
Oh, yeah, it was all mass-produced stuff. And I remember the comic book I remember that was on the shelf in there was the issue of Spectacular Spider-Man with the Rhino putting Spider-Man in a reverse chin lock or whatever that was. It was like a sleeper hold. He had him in like a sleeper hold. And it was the John Romita Sr. art. And that's what I remember was on the shelf. They had no lighting in that place. The only lighting, they were so strapped for cash that they used the ambient lighting from the front window to light the whole store, at least during the day, right? And kind of show you how like strapped for cash they were. But at any rate, digressing here, yeah,
that was a major digression.
Yeah, well, you got to follow the trail where it leads, right? You got to pull the string. But anyway,
I don't even know how we got here.
You spurred me on, Jody. You spurred me. You said, hey, tell us about North Country, and then it was the same guy, and then we got on, you know, at any rate. No, I've always been a Star Trek fan, and I was a Next Generation fan. And I didn't watch the original series because it was like in the 60s, way before I was around. And I started getting into the original cast when I started started renting the old original cast movies from the 80s. And that's how I kind of got warmed up to like William Shatner and Spock and all that stuff. And it was like, hey, these guys are pretty cool, you know? And like, I was like, Shatner's pretty awesome as Kirk, you know, and Spock is great. I mean, Spock's one of my favorite characters. And even when I think about like Leonard Nimoy passing and stuff, it still bums me out. I mean, I tear up because Spock's such a cool character. And, you know, obviously Leonard Nimoy is a much different person in some ways, but, it was like, I kind of got an appreciation for those guys because I, after reading like the, you know, the Leonard Nimoy, I think it's I Am Spock, and there's I Am Spock and there's I Am Not Spock. And it was like, after reading those books, it was like, I got a new appreciation for the character because it kind of goes behind like what, you know, his career and what he was going through from his perspective. And just watching those movies and stuff, I started watching the original series, and, you know, now after they were out on DVD and stuff, and it was like, these guys are pretty cool, you know? And so it was like, you know, but I primarily grew up on TNG, and, you know, my brother and I would watch TNG all the time, and we're still huge fans. We text each other about it. We talk about it on the phone. When I come over to New York to visit, we end up watching, like episodes at, like, 3 o'clock in the morning at his place. You know, it's never going away. It's always going to be there. And, you know, I was like, but we're the kind of guys that, like, we like everything. I mean, we like Star Trek and Star Wars, you know. It's like, it's just, it's a wider palette, you know, a fandom, you know. But I know, Jody, that you didn't really watch any Star Trek at all. And then, like, I got you kind of into some of the funnier aspects of it, like, you know, Captain Picard singing a British tar, and, you know, some of the stuff that Worf does is kind of funny, and, you kind of got you into like Data and Brent Spiner, but I think probably the Trekkies movie kind of introduced you to some of that. Am I wrong?
Yeah. Or? As a kid, I really wasn't into it as a kid. I had the Playmates toys, the little, what were they, 3-inch toys?
No, wait, so there was the Galoob line that were really, really small.
The
like Galoob, that.
No, yeah, that's what I meant, the Galoob line. I had the Galoob line. I got those, those were in that huge crate out front of KB Toys that were in the 3-for-10 free-for-all crate.
Yeah, yeah.
This stuff didn't sell, so just throw it out front. So I think I had, Data, Picard, or Data, maybe Data, Riker, and Geordi.
Yeah, that sounds right. From there.
That sounds right. I think I might have had those three. I know I had Data and Geordi, and I feel like I had one other. Might have been Riker. I'm not quite sure.
You're probably right. I'd
gotten them in front of KB Toys, but as a kid, I always felt like... I did watch the original series a little bit on my 13-inch black and white TV in my room, because during the summer, when we could get a station out of Canada that would play the original series after the news at night, so it would be on at 12 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
And I'd sit there, I'd play with my toys or something, and kind of have it on in the background. And
yeah, you were night owl.
And watch it.
Yeah.
So I'd watch it here and there, but I was never a big Trek fan as a kid. I always felt it was, I guess TNG came out in 87, so we would have
That's
been,
right.
I was like 6 years old,
right?
And I missed out. It was also a syndicated show, so I don't know. I suppose time slots would vary on that, but needless to say, I missed out in the beginning. And I always kind of felt it was a very it was kind of a tough show to get into.
It is for a kid, yeah.
I found it a very daunting show to try and get into when you've already. It's got a lot of history behind it, you know.
Yeah.
So I found it a very daunting show to try and just pick up and watch. Like if you pick up an episode of T.J. Hooker and watch it, I don't know why that came to mind. But
no, that's excellent.
If you pick up an episode of T.J. Hooker to watch it, or The A-Team, or Knight Rider, or, you know...
Good stuff.
A lot... that's what I'm saying. Those shows are pretty... Maybe not Knight Rider so much, but I know, like, The A-Team. You can pick up pretty much any episode of that and know, within 10 minutes, who these people are, where they're going, and what the taxi cab wars are all about.
Nice.
That's a reference to one of the episodes.
Oh, yeah.
But, whereas Star Trek, you've got different alien races, you've got characters. It has a much more, I'll say, a much more rich history to it. So as a kid, I was never into it because I found it a very daunting task. I missed out when it came out and never... really got into it. But you were right, as you know, I guess we'll probably starting to hang out with you guys, and once the Next Generation movie started coming out,
how
great like Generations was, and how great First Contact was, I ended up picking up those movies on DVD and watching Trekkies and being around you guys, where I kind of, was picking up on things more and more. And, now as an adult, I've seen a few episodes of, I'm a very casual fan. I would classify myself as a casual fan, but I have seen, I've seen all the Next Generation movies. I own all the Next Generation movies. I own all the reboot movies here, but like as far as things as say like Enterprise or, even things like Deep Space Nine or what's the Janeway show? I'm having a brain fart here.
That's Voyager, yeah.
Voyager, like my knowledge of them is very pedestrian at best. I know Quark. I know Robert Picardo. That's about it.
Right. Yeah. The EMH program.
You know.
Yeah.
So I'm super. I'm a very casual fan. Very casual.
No, and that's a really good way that you summed all that up, because, I mean, it's, the thing about the various Star Trek, series that they've done is, at least in my opinion, someone may disagree, but every single series that they've done, they have had likable characters on them. I'm not saying they were all likable characters. I don't know which Dr. Kate Pulaski I'm talking about, but
nobody likes her.
That's why she's lasted terrible. One season, crusty, very wooden. but it was like I didn't watch Voyager. I remember I watched the pilot episode of Voyager when in 1995 when it first came out. And it was great. I loved it. I thought it was awesome. I'm like, this is the next chapter of Star Trek. Mind you, Deep Space Nine was still being produced because that series started in 93. And so they would always overlap with the prior series, which was great because they would actually have kind of transition episodes with cast members, which was great, you know, and seeing like Dr. Bashir and like, you know, like the Enterprise D engineering and, you know, working with Data and working with Geordi. It's like, it's so cool, you know, it's awesome, you know? And so it's like, they had such a great thing going on. And, you know, it's great that, like, you can go back and watch these now. And if you get the Blu-rays if you have Netflix or Amazon subscriptions, mm-hmm. they cleaned all those up. And
they look good.
They look like brand new TV series. I mean, they took computers and cleaned them up, and there's, like, no fuzz or anything. And it was, like, especially for the stuff that came out in, like, the early 90s, it's brand spanking new. And mm-hmm. you're watching this stuff, and you're like, you got to remind yourself, this is, like, 30 years ago. You know, if you watch, like, the debut season, they're celebrating the 30th anniversary this year. And it was just, like, it blows your mind, you know, how you know, it's like, I went with my buddy Ian Morris to go for the 25th anniversary, to go watch Best of Both Worlds, where Picard gets captured by the Borg and he gets assimilated and all that. They had a complete feature film version of that. So they spliced it together, and it was like so surreal to be sitting in the movie theater and having all of these special extras that they put. They'd have like interviews with the cast and stuff, like, you know, before it started, and outtake blooper reels and all kinds of stuff, which I think not all of them, but most of them ended up on the Blu-rays, which are awesome, which are excellent. And it's just so cool. I mean, you know, Star Trek never really, it kind of had a lull for a while, but then when like the J.J. Abrams stuff came out, it kind of kicked it back in again. And yeah. And it's like, I really, you know, I enjoy the J.J. Abrams films. They're a different flavor. They're cool for what they are. They're more action based. They're not very tech heavy. They don't get into like, you know, we don't need to like calibrate the phase inducers or the inertial dampers or anything like that. It's like, it's just Spock flipping out and beating the crap out of everybody on some kind of floating platform. And
I believe, if I may interject very quickly, yeah. I believe a friend of ours, Mr. Travis Porter and listener, I believe he once called, and this is spot on. He said that the Abrams films are Star Trek movies for Star Wars fans.
That's accurate.
It's dumbed down a bit, but you know what? Yeah. It's dumbed down a bit. It's a lot less technical.
They're still really good though. Yeah.
They're still really good though. And they've kind of upped the I won't say the action, but I guess I guess you would say that they've upped the action on it.
But
so.
You know what's really neat with those though is like they still allow ample time, especially in this third film, Star Trek Beyond. They allow ample time for the characters to actually have dialogue and like, you know, get into some a little bit deeper personality moments, which I think is really cool. And it's like it took me after the first film I watched it took me a little while to warm up to the new cast, but they're actually pretty good. And when they included Spock on these movies, that was like the coolest thing. Some people disagree, but I think it's great that we got Leonard Nimoy, you know, and his, you know, he was a really frail guy towards, you know, at the age that he was in these movies. The fact that they got him in there as Spock was like the coolest thing they ever could have done for Star Trek fans, as far as I'm concerned. And
well, it kind of, by doing that, it kind of seemed like it was giving the, it was giving the blessing. Like, okay, we're not going to be able to. Obviously, our original characters can't. Our chapter's done. We can't carry on.
Right.
Half of us are gone now. We can't carry on. But that first film was written, and his part was written in such a way to, you know, to keep that, to honor that, but yet be able to write a new chapter with the new cast. And I love that. Good stuff. I love that about that.
Yes.
About that universe. And is that a point of contention on some fans' parts?
Yes, it is, big time. Especially
because they just, I'm assuming, because they don't want to let go, right?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I know a lady who was a fan watched it in the 60s when she was like just a kid, and she can't stand it. But she doesn't like Voyager either because of 7 of 9. And so it's, oh yeah, she's for that 18 to 35 demographic. 6 of 9, that's what she calls her. And so it was like,
wah, wah.
Yeah. And so it's like, come on, lady, you can look past it, because there's a lot of likable characters on there, you know? Like, you know, I like all those characters. You know, I was never like a huge Janeway fan, you know, but she's okay, I guess. But I've never been a Janeway fan. But
you know why I think, if very briefly here, you know, you were talking about Voyager before. Do you know why Voyager and... I'm thinking it. I know here locally this was the problem, and I think nationally it was a problem too. The reason that Voyager and Enterprise never caught on is kind of like, I won't say killed the franchise.
Well, especially Enterprise, because Voyager lasted a full 7 seasons.
Well, sure, but the problem is with those shows is they were on the UPN, which was
exactly.
Fifth string network that at least in our area we never even got until like. I don't know. We got it on some shaky, like, if you had an antenna and stood outside on your roof, you might be able to get it on Saturday.
Yeah, and that was a Rick Berman thing, because he was the guy in charge at that point. And so what that is, like, Paramount's like, we're going to create the United Paramount Network, and we're not going to let CBS or we're not going to let these guys air this stuff. We're going to just have it on our network. Well, you just narrowed down your entire viewership. You know, and that doesn't help when you have a brand new series, you know, because at that point, Enterprise was out, which, as it got momentum, it was like a fantastic series. And by the time the end of the 4th season, you're like, I can't believe they're letting it end like this. This is terrible, you know, because it was, you know, when you have the suits making the decisions. They take something that has so much potential and they just totally flush it down the toilet because they don't care, you know.
Excuse me.
And it was like, they ended up, I mean, TNG ended on a high note, you know, because they'd done it for 7 years, you know.
Well, that's why it's kind of surprising. I think it's a different climate now than then, but that's why I thought the announcement that, and I'm sure you're getting to this anyways, but. You know, having the new, it's Star Trek, what's the name of the
Star
new series?
Star Trek Discovery.
Discovery. Having it on exclusively on the CBS Go app, is it CBS Go? Is that what it's called?
I have the app on my TV and on my phone, but it's just the CBS app. I mean, CBS
The
Network.
CBS app.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm thinking HBO Go, but having it exclusively on the CBS app, at least a first announcement, sounds like a real head scratcher, because much like with the UPN deal, you're definitely narrowing the amount of eyes that are going to see it, you know.
But as opposed to
the one thing that they do have going for it now as opposed to then is, you know, back then, of like I said, the UPN network was like fifth rate network. It was actually probably six.
It was pretty
bad.
You had
the four big networks. It was even behind. Was it the WB? You know, it was even behind that.
Yeah.
So.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Low man on the totem pole. So, it's a Star Trek show, but it's on the UPN. So, like, how good is it? You know.
Yeah.
So you're already kind of coming in with a black mark against you, whereas with this, it's a different climate now than it was 15 years ago when
absolutely.
We had Enterprise.
Yeah.
And people are more receptive, I think, to that. Like,
yes.
Well, it is only on CBS, but It does, you know, we put out trailers. It looks decent. Star Trek is not, it's, I mean, it's not in its prime, but I think it's in a better place now than when, like, when Enterprise came out.
Absolutely.
It was hurting. It was fatigue, too, because you'd already had that, the Next Generation that had been established for 15 years, and you'd had 15 years worth of series and movies going on at that point, whereas now, you know, they're certainly, they'd taken a break, and you have the movies, but these movies have gotten a great reception, and this is the first new TV series in, well, like I said, what, close to 15 years?
Yep.
So I think the climate's different. People are excited about it, and it's a, it seems like with the summer's box office is showing, is that it's more of a TV climate. People are hungry for this stuff. They like being able to binge watch this stuff. So I guess in this instance, things are kind of working in its favor.
Yeah, and that's a very accurate summary, Jody. I mean, spot on. And, you know, I'm really digging this new series. It's just, it's really cool. And, you know, I had a friend of mine, one of my listeners, some part-time listeners, I'll let him stay in the shadows because that's what he likes. But it's like, he said that you could actually watch it on CBS, and which I never wanted to, I never gave that, I don't watch regular television. I haven't had cable in, man, like 6 or 7 years. And it's like, so I downloaded the app, and it, right off the bat, they give you 2 episodes.
Right. This is for people like myself that have it. I haven't seen it yet, so I can't comment on the show. But I believe the first episode is out there for free. I'm not sure if it's on the app. I'm not sure if it's on YouTube or where, but I know if you look for it,
you can try the app for free for, I think it's a month or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's like $5.99, you know, for like the one with commercials. But I ordered the Full Tilt version with no commercials because I'm not going to sit there and watch a Denver mattress commercial for like 30 times in a row, you know. But it's like, I'm not going to give any spoilers away. All I'm going to tell you is I really like it, and it explains a lot of things, and they're doing a great job with it. And the production is like motion picture quality to my eyes. It's top-notch stuff, and they've really put a lot of thought into it, and it's not just this thrown together garbage where everything's CG. It's like quality stuff, and the actors are all really good. And you don't have any, you don't have like airhead actors on there, because, I mean, in this day and age, in my opinion, I have a very strong opinion about like some of the young actors like they have now. Some of them are pretty bad, and they don't have, they've got gigs that they really shouldn't have. And, but not going into that too much. I'm really digging it, and it's great to have something on a Sunday night when you got to go to work on Monday. At least it gives you something to look forward to on a Sunday night. It kind of takes your mind off the work dread, you know, and it's really cool. And I just think that, you know, Star Trek has momentum again. Like you said, it's, you know, it's not like, it's not the powerhouse that, you know, Disney Star Wars is right now, but I'll tell you, if Disney's not careful, that could change real quick. And if they start cranking out all these movies and watering it down, you could see Star Trek kind of take over. Because I'm telling you, they're doing some really cool stuff with Star Trek. And I would like to point out, and I highly suggest, that if you guys have a PS4, if you have an Xbox, or you have a laptop, go out there and check out Star Trek Online. It is an amazing game. It's free, doesn't cost anything. It's a high-quality game. It's not one of these stupid mobile app games that is full of ads. This is a full game where you're connected directly online. It's a traditional MMO, massive multiplayer online game. You could have fleets, you could have armadas set up where like you can join up with a lot of other players. It's cool because what they've done is they have the actual actors from the TV series and the movies on these games doing the voiceovers. And what they've done is they have taken the storylines post Voyager and have actually gone in and they're doing continuing storyline off the older TV shows. It's amazing. So if you guys are a fan of the older stuff and even the newer stuff, they're bringing in, like, they just introduced the new Star Trek Discovery uniforms and put them as a free item in game. And it's like they keep it fresh and they've infused all of the canon. And even the Kelvin timeline stuff. They have the USS Vengeance and they have the Enterprise from the Kelvin timelines, the J.J. Abrams films. Those games, those ships are on there. It's amazing. And I highly suggest it. And the game is doing very well. And it's like, I mean, like, LeVar Burton's reprising his role as Geordi LaForge. It just came out today. They call them episodes on the game. So when you're playing these missions, they're actually new episodes of the TV show. That's what the way they treat them. It's amazing. Huh. It's awesome. And they just had, like, the Nexus on there. They interwove some of the Generation stuff in there, like, where they do a throwback. And it's like, oh, yeah, the Nexus. This is when the Enterprise B and stuff encountered this and blah, blah, blah. They interweave all this stuff, even if it's just a passing reference. I mean, the staff that they have writing these is amazing because, like, CBS approves everything they do, right? It's not like fanfic or anything like that. CBS has to, like, give it their blessing, you know, and, like, they have to get, like, permission to use the ships, like, release the game developer to actually use the ships in game and stuff like that. They have to get permission. It's just amazing. It's awesome. And, like, I'm so excited for what Star Trek's doing right now. I mean, yeah, like you said, Jody, I mean, it went away for a while. It had to go away for a while. It did have to refresh itself.
People needed a break.
Exactly. They did. It was just too much because it was series after series after series after series. And that's with anything. I mean,
yeah. Well, that's the thing. We're waiting. I don't know if we've talked about it in this show, but I've certainly talked about it with friends of ours, and I'm sure we've talked about it, is that it feels like, especially with the superheroes, DC's just getting going. We're seeing how that goes, but, like, with the Marvel universe, we'll see how it goes. But I could definitely see, once you started getting into second and third tier heroes, there's definitely a fatigue, and 2 to 3 to 4 movies a year, there's definitely a fatigue factor happening, and that shoe's ready to drop. I mean, you can just look, for instance, at ABC's Inhumans show that they had planned. They made a pilot. They put in IMAX theaters. Nobody wanted the show. Nobody. Comics fans don't care about the Inhumans, but then they're sick of them being shoved down people's throats, and the show was canceled.
It was canceled.
I believe it was canceled. I think it was a limited series, like an 8 or 10 episode limited series, but it got canceled because low ratings and low numbers, the low turnout for the theater, and just nobody cares. And there comes a point, and, you know, this is a little off topic, you're talking about Trek, but
no, let it rip.
There comes an oversaturation point where people have had enough. And once you start getting into a second Ant-Man movie or a Black Panther movie or a Ms. Marvel movie, these are firmly like B-level characters, and you're going to have to mine the well a little bit more to get people to care. You know, Avengers Infinity War, that's going to do fine, but a Black Panther movie, a second Ant-Man movie, we'll see. We'll see. I hope for the best. But
Got Ant-Man got good reviews, though. I mean, because he's a funny guy. Paul Rudd's a really funny guy. He's hilarious.
It did. I'm not going to. I own Ant-Man. I watched it. I will admit it wasn't my favorite Marvel movie. I was a little, probably, I would go so far as be, I would say I was a little disappointed in it. I'm probably the biggest Ant-Man fan that you know, that you didn't know was an Ant-Man fan.
I did not know that. I thought you were. I thought you were Henry Pym. Thank you very much.
No, I'm a Scott Lang fan. The one from the movie.
You're not a fan of Pym Particles?
He's okay, but I've got Robert Kirkman. Well, he wasn't Scott Lang, but I've got the entire Robert Kirkman run of Ant-Man books. I've got some of the Scott Lang solo books that just came out a few years ago. No, I'm an Ant-Man fan. They're very funny books. I've had quite a few issues, read of those, but even I was underwhelmed with the movie. And I think, well, if you can't sell it to me, then, you know, if I'm underwhelmed, how do other people feel about it? And I don't know, I feel like I said, with the movies I had mentioned, we'll see how it goes.
You know, I did, like, the last, it's the last movie that they had was the Civil War, Captain America Civil War. That I actually started to get into the Black Panther character in that movie because it started to show.
Oh, I did too.
I think
I thought he was great in that movie. Yeah,
I like some of his storyline they're trying to build up, where you know it's like, you know, kind of showing like how his like kind of showing glimpses of like his, you know, his kingdom or whatever, you know, like his dad and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, okay, because I didn't know a lot about that character, because like the only knowledge I have of that character is what I got from what they would do is they would put him as like a, what is the official term for those small stories they put at the back of like an Excalibur comic or something like that?
Like a backup story?
Yeah, like a filler.
Yeah, just have like an 8-page backup.
Yeah, they'd put him in there, or they'd have like the Prowler in the back of a. Yeah, and you know, it's just like when I watched that movie, I was like, you know, this guy's more than filler material, because he's almost kind of like a vigilante type guy, and who doesn't like vigilantes, right? And because you know, he had a loved one die, and he's got to avenge them, you know, and he. You know, it's kind of cool. I mean, as much as I would love to see a Moon Knight movie, that'll never happen.
He would just come across as a poor. I love Moon Knight. I like his books. I think he's a great character. But to put him on screen, he comes across as a second-rate Batman.
Yeah, because if you approach it from a Hollywood perspective, well, we already have people that do that. And it makes sense. It makes sense that they would feel that way. And they're absolutely right. I think that... I loved this Guardians of the Galaxy 2. It's fantastic. I liked it even more than the prior movie. The prior movie, I liked it, but I had a hard time. The beginning of that movie was such a downer for me. It was really sad, and it took me a little while to get over that, because it just, that's kind of a hard thing to put the beginning of a movie for a brand new, brand new trilogy, probably. You know, it's just, for me as a viewer, and I'm my own bird, you know, but it's like, after I watched the second movie, they waited until like towards the end to actually put in some of the sadder elements of that. And so I felt that the pace and the balance of the second movie was a lot better. And the humor was hilarious. You know,
it's definitely more of a like straight ahead humor movie.
It's freaking funny, man.
As far as the humor goes, I really liked it a lot.
It was well placed humor, and like even things like Drax's laugh. I just love that laugh. It's hilarious.
Anytime that guy would open his mouth, and I don't know if I've said this before, but definitely in private. Obviously we're wrestling fans. We've talked about it here on the show. I am not a Batista fan. I don't like Batista. I've never liked him as a wrestler.
He's just generic. But, yeah.
He's generic. Those movies, he's fantastic.
But you know what, though? I don't blame him.
The show.
I don't blame him.
Every scene he's in.
And WWE Creative is to blame for him being generic, because those movies are proof that that guy can be so much more. If you give him a good character to work with, that guy can do it. And to me, I'm going to say it right now, people might think I'm a turd, but he's more likable to me than The Rock is.
And I'll go with that.
And
he seems less arrogant. I'll go with that.
And he doesn't wear a fanny pack. Never has, at least. But, you know, the thing is like, I really enjoy that movie. And the fact that they had Kurt Russell in it, I'm a huge Kurt Russell fan. He's freaking awesome. I thought he was, like, fantastic in that movie. He's such a great actor. Anything he does is awesome. And it's just like, I'm really excited about it. And I think that, you know, as Marvel is careful what they're doing, I think they're going to be okay. And I'm really looking forward to the Infinity War movies. I think it's going to be great.
Well, that's, That's the thing. Like, you had mentioned Black Panther. I really liked him in Captain America.
I'll watch it.
Or Civil War. But this I got to say, the Black Panther trailer doesn't do anything for me.
Well, and it's always kind of like, I don't judge a movie based on the trailer. I actually watch it and give it a chance, because I've had a lot of movies, conversely, that have had excellent trailers. You watch it, it's a piece of garbage. And from my experience, more often than not, ones that have a weak trailer, actually, you're like, hey, it's not too bad. But maybe that's an expectation thing, where you're kind of like the Rise of the Silver Surfer, you know, or even the first Fantastic Four movie. It's like, you know, it was better than I thought it was going to be. And it was like, I think DC, I was so psyched about the Batman versus Superman movie, because they're the two biggest characters in DC. And it was a terrible movie. I hated it.
Yeah.
And
well, that's what I was going to say is, also, though, the trailer for that didn't look very good, and the actual movie was even worse.
Yeah.
So I just wonder if Black Panther might be the pushing point, the tipping point of,
they have to be careful.
This is not a character I'm necessarily that engaged with.
Yeah. Yeah. And
because, like I said, for me, the trailer didn't do much for me. I'll watch it, but I'll say, boy, Doctor Strange has been out for a year, and I have the trailer didn't do much for that.
Dude, it's a great movie. You need to watch it. The character really good.
Doesn't do much for me, and I just, wow. It's not been anything I've had to watch.
I enjoy it. I thought it was a great movie, and it's not like, I mean, you got to remember, yeah, I don't blame Benedict Cumberbatch, and I don't blame, like, the way the movie's done or anything. I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was good. You know, I'm most likely alone in that, but, you know, I'd like Crystal watch it here, and she thought it was really good, you know, and it was like, I'm pretty much like a huge mark for Marvel anyway, and I've always been a Marvel kid. DC's always been kind of like my WWE to my WCW. It's like, yeah, they're cool too, but my heart's over on this side, you know, and it's like,
well, you're wrong on both accounts, but go on.
Well, that's your opinion. That's not fact.
No, I'm right, but go on.
Yeah, Jody's World. We're gonna have a mini series of this podcast called Jody's World, which would probably do pretty good. So I better shut up. No, but I just think that DC really needs to think about what they're doing, because it's not looking good. And
no, well, I'm gonna have you haven't seen Wonder Woman yet, right?
Actually, as a matter of fact, after this podcast is done, I'm gonna go watch it.
Well, you come and talk to me after you're done with that.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you. I've heard very good things about it, and my wife was actually the one that said, hey, I rented Wonder Woman from Redbox, so we should watch it. Okay, no problem.
It's fantastic.
Well,
it might be the best movie I've seen all year.
Well, I'll watch it on a 65 inch Ultra HD television.
Oh, okay, Mr. Breggert.
With surround sound. It's a curve. Thank you. No, but it's like, I'm looking forward to it. Now, I will tell you, I have not, I don't know much about the Aquaman character, but I'm sorry. I just can't get behind that. I just cannot do it.
Hey, you know what? Aquaman gets all sorts of crap. As much crap as Aquaman gets. Guess what? Still better than Namor. Still way better than Namor.
I will have to agree with you on that. Namor. He doesn't terrible.
Have wings on his feet. And that's he's pretty stupid. Green trunks.
Yeah, that's pretty.
As bad as Aquaman gets it, Namor should be getting it twice as bad, because Namor is way worse. Way worse.
Even a hologram.
And you know what? He's a jerk. He's not even likable.
No. And even
no. He just trances around in his underwear and his wing feet. He's terrible. He's
pretty terrible. Yeah. Not even a holographics cover could save him. it's available in any bargain comic book pack you can find at your local discount chain. Thank you.
I have one issue of Namor I got. Like
utterly terrible. Like bad art, bad story, and just crap.
I got it in like a 10-pack where he's fighting the griffin.
Oh, that's so bad. Yeah. It's not even the worst Excalibur comic is as bad as that thing, and I love Excalibur, so I'm not even gonna. That's not even a jab at Excalibur. But no, it's maybe they should just really focus on what DC's good at right now. If they're good at Wonder Woman, a lot of it has to do with, she was the bright spot of the Batman versus Superman movie.
Yes.
Because when she showed up on screen, you're like, okay, now it's going to go down. Now that the movie has jumped to a brand new level. Because it seemed like, you know, Batman and Superman on there, they're such beat-down characters from all the reboots they've done that, like, I think the audience is like, enough. And then when she shows up, oh, brand new character. We haven't had a yes. Wonder Woman. And that's what's going to save these guys.
Well, the Superman and Batman was such a joyless and overblown...
So too, depressing too long, and, yeah.
Too long, joyless slog
yeah.
of a movie that, yes, you're right. When she showed up, it was a breath of fresh air.
And it just took you 2.5 hours to get there. Part. Yeah.
It took you long enough to get there. Yeah. And you were happy to see her when she was on there.
Yeah.
But, like I said, I think... Before watching Wonder Woman, I will say I saw the trailer for Justice League before watching Wonder Woman, and I'm like, I'm not interested in this. But I will say after watching Wonder Woman and after seeing, I think, the second Justice League trailer, I think they are attempting to right the ship as far as what complaints were as far as their universe of films go. And if they can kind of push it in a little bit different direction, more of towards the Wonder Woman side as opposed to the Superman Batman side, then I'm all for it. Then I'm excited for Justice League. There's yeah. a lot about the Justice League movie I'm not liking, but I'm willing to watch it. I'm willing to give it a.
I wasn't excited about from what I saw, but I'm going to give it a shot.
No, I wasn't either. I wasn't either. But like I said, if it's just having Wonder Woman in it, I'm in. Because she's a wonderful character.
You know, and yeah, right. I agree with that. And, you know, but I'm going to say I worry for you as a fan because I know you're such a huge Justice League fan. And I worry for you as a fan because, you know, that might sound ridiculous, but I really do because you have such a collection of potential there with all these characters, especially characters we really haven't seen on the big screen, really, like Martian Manhunter. And, you know, characters like that. They should put, like, is Shazam going to be in there at all?
No, or I don't think he's got his own movie coming down the pike.
Yeah, please don't make The Rock Captain Marvel, please. Don't do that.
No, he's supposed to be Black Adam.
Yeah, you know, he doesn't have to be in every freaking movie that comes out. You know, it's too much. Give someone else a chance, okay? I'm sure he'll be great as Black Adam, but he's been every other evil Egyptian type guy that you can think of. He's been the Scorpion King. He's been, but you know, it's...
Well, don't worry about me. As far as my expectations for this movie are, they're pretty low. They're pretty low going into it. So there's not really much to meet.
Yeah. But what
I'm feeling a little hopeful, but it's still Zack Snyder directing the movie. So my expectations are low, but I'm hoping that they right the ship.
I know. I just, why do they give these movies to these guys that have failed in the past? Like, it's like, you know, what's ridiculous. I was mailing out a box cause I sold something on eBay down at our local supermarket. They got a really good post office down there. So that's where I mail out of. And they had a red box, kiosk or whatever you want to call it, and they had another Transformers movie. I'm looking at it. I told the guy at the counter, I said, they had another Transformers movie. I didn't even know about this.
Oh, you didn't know about it? Yeah, it came out during the summer, I think in June.
Yeah, well, guess
maybe
what?
Maybe a week before Wonder Woman?
In October. It's already out on rental. You know,
well, so is Wonder Woman, and that came out in mid June. Or June 4th.
You can thank the pirators for that kind of stuff, but.
No, it's just a quick, it's like a three-month turnaround. That's why people don't go to the movies anymore.
Hey, man, we used to have to wait like a year or a year and a half sometimes for movies. Or in George Lucas's case, like 10 years for it to come out on rental or come out on home video.
Well, now we don't. Yeah. Don't have to do that anymore, but that's why nobody goes to the movies anymore. I rarely go to the movies. Why should I go pay $15 for a movie ticket when I can wait 3 months and buy it for $20 and watch it as much as I want?
Exactly, and we're going to do a whole episode on freaking movie theaters and why there's such a racket. And that would be a nice rant episode. But
yeah, we don't have much of that.
Yeah, yeah. And so, but it's like I don't know. I guess getting back into Star Trek thing, I heard that they're not going to do any more of the J.J. Abrams movies because, what, they got their trilogy, right? So they're not going to do another one. I needed to look into that because someone's probably, like, jumping out of the chair like, you're wrong! They're going to do another one! It's like, well, no, because not in the foreseeable future because I heard J.J.'s back on Star Wars again.
Yeah, he's back on... He's doing other stuff. He's back on Star Wars, and I'm sure a lot of the people in the cast are going, I mean, Zoe Saldana's doing Guardian. Like, people are doing other things.
They kind of moved on in a lot of ways.
Yeah. It's a pretty big cast. I mean, some of them are doing more than others as far as that, you know. I'm sure Zachary Quinto would be chomping at the bit for a solo Spock movie because he's not doing anything at all. But, But Chris Pine, like, he's a busy guy. He's got other irons in the fire. He doesn't need it.
That guy's
He's making he's awesome.
He's one of the best new actors out there. And you know, I'm going to give a shout out to that guy, even though he doesn't know I exist. And I'm also going to give a shout out to his father, Robert Pine, because Robert Pine's awesome too. And Robert Pine was the chief on the original Chips TV series. He was also. He was on an episode of fourth season of Knight Rider, and he was the villain on that one. And he was also, he had a small cameo part on, Independence Day, actually, the first Independence Day movie that came out. He was one of the president's, member of his cabinet. And so it was like, he's such a cool actor and stuff. And it's like, it's great to see his son out there doing such great work. And it's like, he's a bona fide actor. Chris Pine is a bona fide actor. This guy cut his chops in the frickin', you know, doing drama and all kinds of stuff. He's like a legit guy. He's not like a pop singer turned actor. Okay. And that's what I like about the guy, you know. And so I hope this TV series, you know, Star Trek Discovery does great. I hope it does well. I am cautious because I have heard, like, I know you guys have, I've seen texts between you and, like, Jason and some of our buddies about, like, yeah, the fans are jumping all over it, but, like, the general public doesn't seem to be very moved by it. And when I see comments like that, it worries me because I haven't really thought about that. And, I mean, what do you honestly think, Jody? Do you think the momentum's going to stay? Or do you think this is going to be like one of those, you know, two or three season shows? What do you think?
I don't know. I think thus far it's been pretty out of the gate. The anticipation's been pretty, not anticipation, I thought the reception has been pretty good.
Yeah, I've had people
I think a lot of people have watched it.
Yeah.
But you also, you know, I guess on the other hand, too, you have to wonder how long will that sustain? How long will they be able to keep that up as far as the excitement levels and getting people to re-up? The thing is, too, like we'd said, it's a little bit, I think the CBS app is probably a little bit better outlet than the UPN circa 2003.
Well, see, that's the point. I think that's what's going to help is because it's portable and people don't have to be sitting in front of a television to watch it. They can be anywhere watching it, you know, and that's
problem.
And that's what the
problem.
Well, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Just going to say, like, the last series that came out was Enterprise. It's like, nope, we didn't have portable devices that you could stream these anytime you wanted to. And I think that's one of the things that's going to help the TV series in general is the accessibility that wasn't there before. You know? And, I mean, I don't know, maybe that's just me being overly optimistic, but I think as long as they keep the stories, like the episodes, really, really exciting and keep the action in there enough where there's a little bit of substance to it and it keeps people at the edge of their seat, I think it's going to do really well. And so far, I'm not going to say anything, but they definitely have you. There's a lot of question marks in a good way. Not like I didn't understand this. It's like kind of like, oh, what does that mean and what's going to happen and how does this play into this? You know what I mean? It's not like a bad, like, oh, this didn't make any sense and why are they doing this? Or, like, they could have done this to explain this better. No, it's like they have the audience engaged in trying to figure out where the story's going to go. And that's what I like about it. And that gives it a leg to stand on, in my opinion.
The only thing that worries me like I said, this outlet is better, I would say, better than 2003 UPN. However, the outlet that it's on, the CBS app, is essentially everybody that's buying the CBS app is buying it for this show.
That's
true.
You're
not buying it for anything else.
Exactly.
And to me, that's very problematic. When a show is on an Amazon Prime, a Netflix, a Hulu, maybe people like to watch Netflix for Stranger Things, or, you know, they've got lots of shows on there for Stranger Things or the Marvel shows. But they're not buying, like, you're getting all of that. You're getting a bunch of other movies, a bunch of other shows.
Yeah.
With this is it. Like, this is the reason people are buying this app, is to watch the Star Trek show. So it just seems to me like the people that might be getting this are the really diehard, dyed-in-the-wool fans that are super excited to watch it. But if the only people that are watching this are people buying it specifically for this, that seems to me, as an outsider looking in, that seems to me to be very hard to get a casual fan to go out of their way to purchase this to watch that. It would seem a little harder to grab a casual fan to try and get invested.
Well, you won't have to get
invested. That's where it could be a little problematic.
There's the bootleggers, and there's probably people that have already uploaded this on YouTube and or whatever, uploaded online.
I'm sure they're pretty good about I'm sure there's avenues for torrents and things like that, but yeah. I think as far as I'm sure as far as YouTube goes, I'm sure they're probably pretty adamant about taking that stuff down.
Oh, sure.
But I mean, on the other hand, if somebody wants to find it, they will find it. But I wonder how, if you're a casual fan that's curious about it, they're not going to want to pay $6 a month to watch one show. That's the only thing that's problematic to me about it.
I agree.
To be honest with you, that's what's keeping me from watching it. Is like, I've looked at that app, and unless I want to watch a bunch of old episodes of Young and the Restless, there's not anything on there for me. I don't want to watch this show enough to pay to watch just this show.
Well, you're
at this point.
Yeah, but you're a cheapskate, so that's what the difference
is.
Yeah,
but you know what? I think I'm pretty realistic as far as that goes.
You know,
I think there's going to be plenty of people that don't want to pay $6 a month to watch this, to watch just this one show.
You don't want your you don't want your daily Victor fix? Come on. I agree with you, man. That's the problem. It is a big problem, and they should have done something where, like, it could be at least accessed on, like, Hulu, because, well, Hulu regularly airs, like, CBS stuff, right? I'm not sure who they have agreements with, but they do NBC, right?
They do. I think Hulu is owned by NBC. There's not much CBS content on there, because I think that they have wanted to go off in their own direction on their own app. I think Hulu is largely NBC, ABC, Fox.
ABC and Fox. Okay, got it. Yeah, so it's the other three. Okay.
The thing that's hard to sell somebody on a CBS app too, aside from that, is the fact that, I don't have cable either. But I think generally speaking, most folks that don't have cable with an antenna, pretty much everybody can get it. It's a pretty easy station to get.
Yeah.
It's not like a cable station. It's not even like an ESPN where you'd have to pay. You'd have to, I really want that, so I have to pay just for that station.
Yeah.
It's hard to get somebody to buy the CBS app when you're getting it for free on TV. You don't have to pay for that. That's something you can get without having to pay for it. So, again, you're essentially paying for this app for the privilege to watch the one show. What kind of ratings would this get if they put it on regular TV? I think it would do really well.
I think it would blow off the stage. It'd be awesome. And you know,
it's kind of a head scratcher. Like, why don't you go with that?
Well, I think I have the answer.
One of the ratings anyways, but.
Well, I think I have the answer, and it's another corporate decision as opposed to what's best for the show and what's best for the property. It just occurred to me, as you were saying, that I think they're using this show strictly as a way to sell the app.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what that's
terrible.
What I was implying, too.
It's terrible. And it's like, how dare you use a show like this? I'm sorry, but, you know, I know there's people that are passionate about, like, Star Wars. And if, dude, if you had people doing this with Star Wars, there'd be people would be furious. You know, and the thing is like I can't. It really sucks that they're. You know, I'm gonna go back on X&R for a second. Star Trek X&R, that was a fan film, feature film that was being made, and CBS freaking took them to court and put a cease and desist in place, and would not let them finish it. It was a fan film, non-profit. They, I think their budget was like $20,000 or something like that, totally fan funded, and I don't know what that was. Jody, you still there?
Yeah.
What was that weird noise?
Oh, I had a thing pop up on a notification pop up on my phone.
Oh, okay. It sounded like Bozo the Clown's nose.
Golden Knights beat the Stars.
Oh, nice.
hockey scores.
But it was like I just you know, CBS put the brakes on that to so they could market their stupid CBS app, and I'm like. Why would you? Again, they don't care about the fans. They don't care, and I hope the show does well. And
oh, so do I. I do too. But that's the thing that kind of sucks about this is if people don't subscribe to this, well, I guess this show wasn't popular enough to make people want to pay for it. So we'll that's kill the show. Like the show will suffer for it.
I know. Or that's what I'm afraid of.
If it does, it really. That's why people are buying that app. They're not buying for any other reason.
Yeah, and see, right now they're falling right into CBS's hands with this stuff, and mm-hmm. that's the only reason I got it. And I'll tell you, Jody, the only reason I got the app was for the show, honestly. But the other thing is like the reason I decided to go and get this app was like so that I can watch these episodes. As they're coming out, so it's like fresh, brand new nostalgia for me because mm-hmm. I don't want to have to watch a backlog and get caught up. I want to see them as they're being released because as a fan, it's a big deal for me, and that's the only reason I got that.
Sure, and yeah. You know what? Like I said, starting off the show, I'm a casual Star Trek fan. If I was a major Star Trek fan, I would buy it too.
Oh,
totally
understandable.
So it's not anything I gotta watch. But on the other hand, I'm right with you there. You don't want any of this stuff. The way that things are portrayed now with social media, you don't want any of this stuff to be spoiled for you. So you gotta be right there.
Yeah.
Right when the new episodes come out.
It's bad enough with the movies that come out. It's like I appreciate the fans of this show and fans of any other movie. I tend not to do spoilers on this show because I wouldn't want someone doing that to me. Or I do appreciate mm-hmm. if they give you fair warning. I won't listen to the podcast episode if
right.
I haven't seen
it
yet.
Same here.
Yeah.
Same here.
And
I will go back. Our friends at McSauce.
Exactly.
They do movie reviews. I just listened to their Wonder Woman episode like 2 weeks ago that came out over the summer because I skipped it earlier. I didn't want to be spoiled.
Yeah.
So I watched the movie, came back, re-downloaded it. Yeah, exactly. Same here. I don't want it to be spoiled for me either.
Plug for the McSauce guys. They got a great show. And there's been a lot of episodes that I have not listened to because I have not watched the movies they're reviewing. But I'm going to tell you, when those guys do a review, they do a great review, and the cool thing is you got those guys on there. They all have very different opinions about things, and it's nice to see a contrast there. They're not like three guys that are like super marks that are all have the same opinion. They've got different perspectives, and it's just really cool. So you guys check out the McSauce podcast; they're great. And so yeah, I mean I gotta get caught up. I really gotta get caught up, Jody. And it's like I didn't even watch Guardians of the Galaxy until like 2 weeks ago, and it's because my brother-in-law brought the movie over, you know, so like watch this, you know. He forced me to watch. I'm like, okay, yeah, you're right. Okay, let's do it. I keep putting the stuff off, you know. I don't go to the movies like I used to anymore, and because it's just like I don't want to go. I just don't feel like going. And I will save that for our, you know, a movie theater podcast, like, episode. But I just, you know, I get busy. I don't have time to go do this stuff. And usually by the time, you know, I get time off, I got other stuff going on or I'm freaking exhausted. I don't want to sit in a movie theater. I'll probably sleep, you know. And so it's like, I just don't go to the movies very much. And maybe twice a year, tops. And
wow.
Yeah, I just don't. I mean, I just don't have time. And so that's my personal situation. And so it's like, I mean, I think the last movie I went and watched was The Smurfs. My son wanted to see The Smurfs.
I'm talking about that.
Yeah.
If you make... I think that isn't that what Gene Shalit said? If you go to just one movie this year, make it Smurfs 2. Or yeah. Smurfs 3.
What? Would he say that from Beyond the Grave, Jody? Jeez.
Yes. Just for Smurfs 3.
A Smurfs 3. That movie for it actually did pretty nice nod to the cartoon, the vintage cartoon, which I thought was cool. It was actually pretty accurate with that, not the stupid live action garbage. But no, anyway, it's like, you know, it's, I think it's, I'm really looking forward to the new Star Wars. I'm cautious about it because, I'm kind of like with you are on like the Marvel things. It's like, when's it going to be too much?
Now, that's what I was going to add that in earlier is because I could see everybody loves Star Wars. Everybody's excited for, I think people are excited for Episode 8, but getting on this yearly schedule, it could be diminishing returns. Already, yeah. People are not very excited for this Han Solo movie next year, and hopefully that turns out okay. And hopefully everyone likes it. Hopefully it turns out to be a decent movie, but people are cautious about it, and
I don't blame them.
People feel burned over the prequels, whether you like them or don't like them. People do feel burned over the prequels.
This is for Travis, prequels.
And, you know, I think I love the Star Wars movies, too. But if you have at some point, you have like 8 movies in 8 years. Yeah, I could see where it could be a burnout factor.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And it's just, the Han Solo movie. I mean, geez Louise, what a dog show. What a terrible mess that thing has been, and oh boy, it's like how hard can it be to make a freaking Han Solo prequel movie? I don't overcomplicate things, you know what I mean? It's just, and I know next to nothing about what the storyline is going to be or anything, but I will tell you, yeah, and it's, I don't know, I think they need to be very, very, very careful here. And unfortunately, it's like, man, with the last movie, it's like you had Carrie Fisher die. There's already sadness surrounding this stuff. And I just, it's been a really rough time for these movies. They've waited so long to do this, and it's like, now these people are getting older and stuff, and it's just like, you got that to think about, too. It's like, what kind of a damper is it going to put on things? You know? And it's just like, when I watched Rogue One, she had died that day.
Mm-hmm.
That morning.
And then you went to go watch it?
The day I went to go watch it. And I saw her at the end of the movie. I started tearing up, man. Because they had that computer-generated image of her, of person on the movie. And I started tearing up, man. That was a rough time for me. And it was just like, I wanted to bawl like a little girl when Han Solo got killed. You know? It's just, these last two movies they've done, I've loved them, but it's just, there's always like just been this heavy wrecking ball. I've been hit with both movies, and it's not anyone's fault. I understand it, but it's just the timing has just been terrible. And I think they did the right thing in retrospect with like Harrison Ford wanting like Han Solo to be killed off because he's getting older too, you know. And,
sure.
And
it's story progression. It makes sense. He still goes out like a hero. It has a huge emotional aspect, and then you can get on with it.
Yeah, it took a lot. I had to keep myself together when he got killed off. I'll be honest with you, and I'm a pretty emotional guy, so it was just like as a viewer, I just that was a hard thing for me to watch. And I mean, I kind of felt like it was coming, you know. He kind of felt it, but no, I hope they do the Star Wars thing right, and I don't want it to end on a low note. And if they do keep it going, just do it right. That's all as a fan, that's all I ask. And I think they need to quit doing these filler movies. I think they need to not do these every year, be honest with you. And I don't know.
It's too much of a cash cow.
It is.
Hey, I'm sure you'd read with Rogue One with the, like, the toy sales were way down. It's just
they're still clogging the pegs.
You got to give this stuff a little bit of a breathing room.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I have several of those toys. I can look at them right now. Like, you know, like General Krennic, the guy's awesome. You know, he's great. And but at the same time, it's like, and I love the fact that they're. Like the Hasbro, their Star Wars Black Series is like fantastic, you know.
Yeah, they're nice toys.
Oh, they're awesome, and you know, and I'm not going to get too much into toys in this episode, but I just, I've got a Jyn Erso. I've got, it's pretty sad. I don't even know that guy's name. The guy with the beard, her love interest in the movie, what was it?
Who can Cassian Andor?
Thank you.
He sucks. I don't like him at all.
The only reason I bought the figure is because he's got like this really puffy like feather coat on.
it's a North Face jacket.
Yeah, yeah, and it looks like some kind of like really heavy jacket you'd use to go out and get the mail in Northern New York, with like that really puffy like hood on the back. Like a certain shop teacher we had who Jason almost hit with a car. do you remember that? Because there was a whiteout.
No.
We go, whoa! And it was just like, it was a total whiteout. And he was out getting his mail. But anyway, that's a separate topic. That's, oh boy. Anyway. Yeah. So guys, we appreciate you guys hanging on. And we're trying to keep these about an hour. It, you know, because I know some people don't like really big podcast episodes. So, we appreciate you guys listening. And, Jody, you got anything?
No. It was nice having a talk, some trick talk, state of the movie business talk. And, it was good. Good times.
Not bad for ad lib.
No, I didn't even, when we started recording, I didn't even know where we were going with this, but I thought it was a very good talk.
Yeah, and
I'm glad to hear your review of the new Star Trek show, which his name escapes me.
Discovery.
Discovery yeah. Zone. Star Trek Discovery Zone.
Yeah, there you go. DZ Discovery, yes. Zone. Remember that commercial?
Discovery Zone. Yeah, and have the kids like jumping in the ball pit.
Yeah, they don't mention how unsanitary those things are. Anyway.
No. Oh, look at all these hypodermic needles at the bottom of this pit.
Oh, that's terrible. Yeah. Mr. Duhon, can I get a sample of your blood? He was still asking the same thing 20 years later.
That's a Trekkies reference, too. No, the only person that got it listening was me, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. Anyway. All right, guys. You guys have a wonderful weekend, and we'll catch you next time.
A British tar is a soaring soul, as free as a mountain bird. His energetic fist should be ready to resist a dictatorial word. Sing, Wolf, sing. His nose should pant.
And his lips should curl.
His cheeks should flame.
And his brow should furl.
His bosom should heave.
And his heart should glow.
And his fist be ever ready for a knockdown blow.
His eye should flash with an inborn fire. His brow with scorn be wrung. He never should bow down to a domineering frown.
Or the tang of a tyrant tongue. His heart should stump,
and his throat should growl.
His hair should curl,
and his face should scowl.
His eyes should flash,
and his breast protrude.
And this should be his customary attitude.